Big Sister, the story of Ruth Wayne and her problems as a woman, as well as a nurse, a wife, and a mother. Today's episode in just a moment, after this message from our sponsor. Noon of a full and busy day, the day after Big Sister's return from New York. Thinking back over the morning, Ruth realizes, with a sense of gratitude and relief, that since office hours began, she hasn't once had a chance to think about herself and her problems, about John or Diane or the future. Then, as she crosses the empty waiting room on her way to the door...
Ruth! Oh, Ruth!
Oh, hello, Reed. I thought you were at the hospital.
Oh, I just got back. Where are you going?
Home for lunch.
Oh, I thought I might be able to persuade you to have a bite with me.
Sorry, Reed, not today. I'm afraid I've got a previous engagement.
Richard?
Yes.
Can I walk part of the way with you? I'd kind of like to stretch my legs.
Well, surely. As a matter of fact, if you care to, I'm sure there'll be plenty for you, too.
Well, thanks, Ruth, but... Well, I think he should have a chance to be alone with you. Besides, he's probably had enough of me to hold him for a while.
He told me that you'd taken him out several times while I was away to a ball game, fishing. It was awfully nice of you, Reed.
Nonsense. I did it the first time because... Well, I knew he was lonesome. He missed you. But after that, it was because I enjoyed it so much myself. He's a pretty swell kid.
He thinks quite a lot of you, too. Reed, how much longer are you going to stay here in Glen Falls? Have you thought about it at all?
In a general sort of way. Why?
Well, I was just wondering how long a leave they'd given you from the medical center.
Oh. Strange you're bringing that up. I got a letter from the center asking me when I was coming back. I still haven't answered them.
Don't you want to go back?
In a way. And in a way, I'd like to stay here.
In Glen Falls? But why?
It's hard to say. I suppose partly because I like the life, the people here. And partly because, well, Dr. Carville called it an exaggerated sense of the importance of direct contact with the patients.
I think that's true, Reed. We couldn't possibly get along without the doctor in general practice. He's the backbone of medicine. But where would he be without the trained researcher? The man who makes the discoveries he uses in his practice.
Et tu, Brute? Or did Dr. Carr coach you?
Oh, is that what he said?
Pretty much.
Well, I think he's right. I don't think I've ever told you, in so many words, how very much I appreciate your coming here in the first place, helping us out while John was away. I don't think I can tell you even now. I know how long you waited to get that post at the center, and I know what important work you were doing there.
I think you're the one who's exaggerating now. Exaggerating the importance of what I was doing.
No, I don't think I am, Reed. In fact, I know I'm not. You helped us out in a very real emergency. But I really think you should go back to the medical center.
Well, thinking isn't always the whole answer, Ruth. Do you want me to go back?
Well, what difference does that make, Reed? Why should that enter into it?
It just does.
Then, yes, Reed, I do want you to go back.
Oh. Well, in that case, I guess it's something I ought to consider.
Let's go to New York now, to the one-room apartment on Washington Square, where John has been staying since he left the High Towers Hotel.
Yes, come in. I was...
Hello, John.
Well, Diane, what is the name? What are you doing here?
It's not a very cordial greeting.
I don't feel very cordial. I asked you what you were doing here. How did you find out where I was?
Well, if you want something badly enough, you usually can find some way to get it.
Oh, Davis, huh? At the hotel. Sometimes I wish... Well, you still haven't told me why you came, what you want.
All right, now I'd like to sit down. May I?
I'd rather you didn't, Diane. I was just going out and you knocked.
Surely you can spare me a few minutes, John. After all, I've come a long way to see you.
Why?
Oh, John, stop it. You know why I came. You've known why for years. Do you want me to grovel or base myself? All right, I'll do that, too. I came because I had to come, because there'd just nothing I could do about it. I made myself wait until Ruth had had her chance. Then when she came back without you, I took the next train here.
I see.
John. John, please. I've waited so long for this moment. I don't want very much, just acceptance. I love you. I need you. I don't care if you love me or not, but you need me, too. We haven't anyone else now, either of us. Only each other.
The two of us, birds of a feather.
Sneer if you want to, but it's true. Two lost, sick people. That's why it's been this way with me all this time. And that's why it will be that way with you, too. We were alike, John, you and I, more alike than any other two people in the whole world. That's why we belong together.
Dan, I'm really very sorry, but you'll just have to excuse me.
You really want me to go, don't you?
If you don't mind, Dan. I haven't been very well, and
no,
I...
It's all right, John. I knew you didn't like hearing the things I said to you, but I had to say them. I'll go now. Not very far, because I've come to New York for good. I'm going to stay here for as long as you stay. So I'll be seeing you again soon.
We return to the story of Big Sister after this message from our sponsor. It's that same evening now, about 10 o'clock, and back in Glen Falls, Nebby is just going up the stairs to his apartment.
Hope?
Yes, Nebby?
Where are you?
Here in the kitchen.
Kitchen? What are you doing in there at this time of night?
Come on in and see.
Okay. How are you, Hope?
Fine. How are you, Nebby?
Pretty good. Hey, something smells good around here.
Does it? What?
That cake. Gee whiz, Hope, did you bake that?
Uh-huh. Just took it out of the oven.
That's terrific, Hope.
It's just gingerbread. It comes all mixed. Sit down. I'll cut you a piece.
You mean eat it now?
Well, sure. These crazy hours you have to work. I know how hungry you are when you come home.
You mean you actually... You really did all this? Baked that cake and waited up just for me?
For who else do you think, silly? I'm your wife.
Hope, I don't know what to say. When you're like this, I love you so much I could bust right out crying. And especially after the way things have been the last couple of days.
I know.
Why can't we be like this, the way we are now, all the time?
We can be, Nettie. We will be. I guess everybody must have times like we've been having when they first get married. Fighting about things that don't really matter.
Sure, Hope. Until you really get used to each other and all.
And then there's other things that make it tough, too, like not having enough money and worrying all
the
time.
Yeah, I know, Hope. And you've been wonderful about that. Well, you just stop worrying about it from now on.
Stop worrying?
Yeah. That's my department. And I'll be right in there pitching.
Oh, Nettie. Oh, you don't know how happy that makes me. You mean you're going to do it, huh?
Do it? Do what?
Borrow the money from Frank. Buy the garage over at Somerville. Well,
who said anything about that?
Well, you did. You said stop worrying, and you know what I've been worrying about you. How you're ever going to get any place. Here you have this wonderful chance, a good garage, cheap, and becoming your own boss.
Well, honey, I didn't mean that exactly. I meant... I was just talking kind of generally.
Oh, I see. Just generally.
Yeah. Gee whiz, Hope. We've been over that a dozen times before. And you know how I feel about it. I think it's a pretty good proposition, sure. But we haven't got the dough for it. And the only place we could possibly get it would be from Frank.
Well?
Well, I just don't want to borrow from him. I don't trust him.
Oh, you don't trust him. Your own uncle, and one of the richest men in town, and you don't trust him. But you went to him and talked to him about it.
Well, sure I did. Because you made me. You said there wasn't any harm in just talking.
And?
Well, I said I'd think it over, didn't I?
Yeah, but for how long? Until Mr. Brooks sells the garage to somebody else.
No. Now, I'll make up my mind one of these days, and I'll make it up myself, too.
Are you sure?
What do you mean?
Ruth is back.
Ruth? How do you know?
Because I met her this morning. She got back last night.
Well, gee whiz, Hope. Why didn't you tell me?
Well, when did I have a chance to? You just got home, didn't you?
Well, you could have called me at the gas station, couldn't you? I could have gone over there right after work.
Well, where are you going?
Well, over there. Gee whiz. She's been gone an awful long time, Hope. I want to know what's happened with her and John. Everything.
Oh, of course. And you're also going to make up your own mind about the gas station and Frank. Well, don't let me stop you. I'm only your wife. Go ahead. Go running to your big sister.
Hope.
Go ahead, I tell you. Go ahead.
Turning, his face strained. Nettie does go. Hope stands there for a minute after the door closes behind him, looking down at the half-eaten piece of gingerbread. Then, with a sweep of her hand, sends it crashing to the floor, plate and all. And now, this message from our sponsor. Listen tomorrow on this station to Big Sister. This has been a production of Nana Radio. Howard Petrie speaking.